7 AI agents are collaborating on a survey paper. 4 researchers, a data analyst, a reviewer, and an editor-in-chief. They've all been given clear roles, clean prompts, and the right tools. Then, partway through, one of them finishes its job and goes home. Another agent gets sent back to revise its section, dutifully tries to ship the revised draft back upstream, and discovers it's sending messages to an agent that no longer exists. Within a few more steps, 3 other agents are stuck waiting on those messages. The whole system locks up. No individual agent did anything wrong. The protocol connecting them did.
And the paper we're talking about today shows that this isn't a one-off. The authors point to prior work, a study called MAST from 2025, finding that this kind of failure, agents getting tangled with each other rather than reasoning badly, is the dominant failure mode in multi-agent LLM systems. The paper went up on Archive on May 8, 2026, and we're recording 3 days later. This episode is AI-generated. The script is from Anthropic's Claude Opus 4.7. I'm Finn, and that's Jessica. We're both AI voices from 11 Labs. Neither company is involved in producing the show. The full title of the paper is TraceFix: Repairing Agent Coordination Protocols with TLA Plus Counterexamples. And the team is out of Rutgers: Shuren Shaya, Chiwei Li, Takia Asan, and Jorge Ortiz.
And the reason that 7 agent deadlock matters is that the authors don't just describe it. They catch it before deployment with a tool that's been quietly finding bugs in cloud infrastructure for over a decade. The pitch of the paper is essentially, take the formal methods machinery the distributed systems world has been refining since the 80s and wire it directly into how LLMs design multi-agent coordination. Let the LLM draft the protocol. Let an exhaustive checker tear it apart. Hand the LLM the exact failing trace as a bug report. Repeat until nothing breaks.
Let me set up why that's a non-obvious thing to do, because the framing matters. Most software bugs are boring in a specific way. Same input, same wrong output. You find it, you fix it. Concurrency bugs are not like that. When several processes run at the same time and share resources, the bug depends on the order their steps happen to interleave. There might be a million orderings where everything works fine, and 3 orderings where 2 processes wait forever for each other. Your tests almost never hit those 3. The classic symptom is deadlock. Everyone politely waiting on someone else. Nothing moves.
The example I always come back to is 2 people texting, "You go first." "No, you go first." Every individual message is perfectly correct and polite. The system is stuck.
Right. And the author's argument is that this is exactly what's happening inside multi-agent LLM systems right now. Each agent looks competent in isolation. The system as a whole has these latent interleaving bugs that surface only under rare schedules. The field has been pouring effort into making individual agents smarter. Better prompts, better tools, better memory. But if your dominant failure mode is the coordination layer, none of that helps you. The protocol is its own artifact, and it deserves its own treatment.
So the question becomes, how do you treat it? And this is where the paper reaches over to a corner of computer science that's been working on exactly this problem for 40 years. The tool is called a model checker. The intuition is simpler than the formalism makes it sound.
Yeah, let me try the version that I think actually lands. Imagine you've written down the rules for a game, and you want to know whether there's any sequence of legal moves that ends in a losing position. A naive answer is, yes, you can lose. A useful answer is, move 1, then 2, then 3. Here is exactly how you lose. A model checker is the second kind. You give it a precise description of a concurrent system. You tell it what counts as a violation, say, 2 agents holding the same lock at the same time. And it mechanically explores every possible ordering of every possible action, looking for any schedule that violates the property.
And critically, when it finds one, it doesn't just say broken. It hands you back the exact step-by-step trace. That trace is the magic ingredient in this whole paper.
It is. There's a deep asymmetry the authors are exploiting. Writing a correct concurrent program is famously hard. Checking a finite model of one is just brute force enumeration. Model checkers have been used in industry for ages. Amazon Web Services famously used the same family of tools to find bugs in S3 and DynamoDB protocols before they shipped. So this isn't experimental machinery. It's mature, it's industrial grade. And the authors are basically asking, what if we pointed at the protocols LLMs are writing?
The specific tool stack is called TLA Plus and PlusCal. TLA Plus is a formal language for describing concurrent systems precisely. PlusCal is a friendlier notation that compiles down to it. The checker is called TLC. The listener doesn't need any of those details to follow what's happening. You just need to know there's a language the LLM writes in, and there's an exhaustive grader that consumes it.
There's one small technical idea inside PlusCal that's worth pausing on because it's load-bearing for why this catches bugs LLMs miss. PlusCal lets you write something that translates roughly as either do A or do B. At runtime, an agent picks one based on context. At verification time, the checker explores both. It branches into both possible futures and checks every schedule of every other agent in both of them.
The image I have is parallel universes. The LLM writing the protocol has one universe in mind, the case it was imagining. The checker insists on visiting all of them. A bug is real if it shows up in any universe under any schedule.
And that's the part the LLM can't do on its own. When the LLM writes, the reviewer might approve or might ask for revisions, it's thinking about the happy path. The checker is thinking about the path where revisions come back at exactly the moment another agent decides it's done and the channel is no longer being watched.
So now we can put the whole pipeline together. The authors design it as a loop with two roles. At design time, the LLM is the protocol author. At runtime, the verified protocol becomes the agent's marching orders. The design time loop has three steps. First, the LLM produces a topology, and this is genuinely a nice piece of engineering, Finn, because they deliberately split the problem in two.
It's the cleanest part of the architecture, honestly.
The topology is a structured declaration. Here are the agents, here are the shared resources, locks, basically, and here are the channels, the message passing pipes, that connect specific agents to other specific agents, with explicit vocabularies of which message labels can flow where. It's just a JSON document. You can validate it structurally with a schema check before you've done any expensive verification.
And the analogy I'd reach for is building codes versus floor plans. The topology is the building code. What rooms exist, which doors connect them, what kind of traffic each door allows. The PlusCal that comes next is the floor plan plus the behavioral rules for how people actually move through the building over time. You can check the building code with a quick structural review. You need a real simulation to find problems like everyone tries to leave through the same fire door at once.
Right. So step two, the LLM writes the PlusCal, the behavioral layer. One process per agent using a small set of coordination primitives. Send a message, receive a message, acquire a lock, release a lock, and the either-or branching whenever an agent has a real choice point. Step three, the checker runs. It explores every interleaving of every agent's actions under every possible non-deterministic choice within bounded queue depths, looking for any of four bad outcomes: two agents grabbing the same lock, deadlock, locks left dangling at termination, or messages stranded in a channel at termination.
And the bounded queue depth thing is worth one sentence because it's a careful move. Concurrent systems can, in principle, have infinite state spaces. Agents could queue up arbitrarily many messages. The authors cap each channel at three messages by default. But here's the honest part. If any execution would need a fourth message, they treat that as itself a violation. They don't silently truncate. They don't pretend they checked something they didn't. If a real protocol needs more buffer than the bound allows, the checker flags it.
That's the part that makes me trust the whole pipeline more, actually. It would be easy to fake exhaustive checking by quietly cutting off the search and reporting clean. They don't do that.
They also show in an appendix that bumping the bound to 5 or 7 on the densest tasks surfaces no new violations, which is calibration evidence, not a proof. But it's the right calibration evidence.
Okay. So the checker runs. If it's happy, you have a verified protocol. If it's not, it hands the LLM a counterexample trace, the current PlusCal, and the topology, and the LLM patches the code. The repair is evidence-driven. The LLM isn't guessing what went wrong. It's looking at the precise sequence of steps that led to the failure and editing accordingly.
This is the part where I want to come back to your 7-agent survey paper example, Jessica, because it's the cleanest illustration of the whole loop in action.
Yeah, so this is the example in Appendix C. The authors lay it out end to end. The task is producing a survey paper with 7 agents, 4 researchers, each owning a section, a data analyst they all query for facts and figures, a reviewer that gives verdicts, and an editor-in-chief. The LLM drafts a topology, fine. Drafts the plus cal, looks reasonable. TLC runs. TLC produces a 97-step counterexample, and the trace is genuinely instructive. The data analyst is designed to handle each researcher's initial data request and then terminate when it's seen everyone. So it handles all 4 initial requests and shuts down. Meanwhile, researcher D gets handed a revise verdict by the reviewer. Revision means re-entering its loop. The revision loop resends a data-ready message to the data analyst, which no longer exists. Researcher D blocks. The reviewer is waiting on researcher D. The editor is waiting on the reviewer. The whole pipeline freezes.
And critically, this is not a bug any human reviewing the PlusCal would catch on a casual read. It depends on a specific ordering. The reviewer's revision verdict happening after the data analyst has decided it's done with that researcher. On a different schedule, everything works.
The LLM gets that trace, patches the protocol. Basically, the data analyst now has to stick around through the possibility of revisions. The checker runs again, finds a 2nd, narrower issue. The LLM fixes that too. 2 repair iterations. Then the checker explores almost 8 million distinct states of the system, finds 0 violations, and we're done.
Almost 8 million states. Verified in under a minute.
That's the part I think is worth sitting with. The state space of a 7-agent system with messages in flight and locks and branching choices balloons very fast. And the checker walks the whole thing.
Which gets to one of the genuinely striking numbers in the paper. Across all 48 tasks, the verification times are essentially flat across 6 orders of magnitude of state space. 30 states, 300,000 states, nearly 8 million states, all under a minute. The bottleneck stops being verification and starts being whatever the LLM is doing to write the protocol in the first place.
And the convergence story is also unusually clean. 48 out of 48 tasks reach a verified protocol. About 5 out of every 8 verify on the first try. No repair needed. The worst case in the entire benchmark is 4 repair iterations. The maximum verification time is 57 seconds.
I want to flag 1 calibration result here because it tells you something about where LLMs are strong and where they're weak. The benchmark includes the dining philosopher's problem, Dijkstra's 1971 chestnut, and in the hard variant here, 7 philosophers sharing forks, the canonical concurrency teaching example. All 9 pure lock-style tasks in the benchmark pass first try. Every time. The LLM reliably writes alphabetical lock ordering, which is the textbook solution.
So it's not that LLMs can't do classical concurrency patterns. They can.
They can. The failures are concentrated in the message passing channel logic with retry loops, which is, of course, exactly where most real multi-agent systems live. The breakdown of the 29 repair attempts is revealing. About 70% are deadlocks. And within those, 2 patterns repeat. The either-or premature branch commitment problem, where the LLM writes branches that force the checker to pick a path before it can see which channel actually has a message, and the hub agent terminates early problem, which is exactly what blew up your 7-agent example.
Hub terminates early is the dominant real-world failure pattern. An agent that other agents depend on decides it's done before everyone is actually done with it.
And it's the kind of mistake that's incredibly hard to anticipate when you're writing the protocol, because it's not a local error. The hub agent's logic is locally correct. It only becomes wrong in the context of when its dependents might come back around.
So that's the design time story. The LLM produces a topology and a pluscal. The checker verifies it under bounded assumptions. Repairs happen against concrete traces, you converge fast. Now the verified protocol has to actually run.
And this is where the paper gets, I think, more honest than most. Because verification gives you a guarantee about a model. The thing that actually runs is a swarm of LLM agents making token-by-token decisions in real time. Those agents can deviate from the verified protocol.
So the authors add a runtime layer. Each agent's verified PlusCal body becomes the core of its system prompt. It knows what coordination operations it's supposed to perform. And around that, they put what they call a topology monitor. Every time an agent tries to perform a coordination operation, send a message, acquire a lock, the monitor intercepts it and checks. Does this match the verified contract? Is this agent allowed to send on this channel? Is this label in the allowed vocabulary? Does this agent own this lock? If not, the operation is rejected and the agent has to retry.
Jessica, I want to push on something here because the authors do something I respect and not everyone would. They don't claim the monitor enforces the full verified protocol. It enforces the topology, the interface, the structural contract, but not the full step order behavior that TLC actually checked.
Yeah, and they're upfront about this being a real gap. They call it the verification to enforcement gap. The blueprint analogy is the one I keep reaching for. You can verify a blueprint says the building won't fall down. You then hand the blueprint to a construction crew. The blueprint is correct. The construction crew might still cut a corner. The monitor at the door is checking some things. Is this door in the right place? But not everything. Did you use the right rebar inside that wall?
And the data show this gap is real. About 9% of runs under the full topology monitored architecture still end in deadlock. Through step order deviations, the monitor structurally can't catch. That's the part of the system that's still flying without instruments. The headline, verified, isn't quite as airtight as the word makes it sound.
This is one of the places I think the paper is most credible, because they could have not run those numbers. They could have stopped at, we verified it. Instead, they ship the runtime experiment, find the residual 9%, and put it in the paper.
Speaking of the runtime experiment, this is where the empirical scope gets serious. They run roughly 3,500 end-to-end executions, 4 runtime architectures, 2 model tiers, GPT-5 mini, and a weaker GPT-5 nano, 3 levels of fault injection, 3 repetitions across all 48 tasks.
And the 4 runtime architectures are the meat of the comparison. There's the full topology monitored setup we just described, verified protocol plus runtime monitor. There's prompt only, verified protocol baked into the system prompts, but no runtime monitor, so the agents are on the honor system. There's mediator enforced, a rigid central coordinator routes every action. And then there's chat only, the closest thing to current practice. Agents negotiate via freeform natural language with no protocol at all.
Chat only is the comparison point that anchors how bad the unfettered approach is. And the numbers are pretty stark, Jessica.
They are. Chat-only deadlocks on roughly a third of runs. 61% of tool calls hit resource conflicts. Agents take about 4 times more steps trying to self-organize through natural language negotiation than they would under a structured protocol. And the lock violation count is in the high hundreds on the better model, climbing past 1,500 on the weaker one.
That's the everyone is busy, no work is happening picture. Agents are talking, they're not coordinating.
The topology monitored architecture, by contrast, nearly 90% average completion, over 80% full completion, 0 lock violations across the entire experiment. And the monitor is doing real work here. It rejects over 1,300 invalid coordination attempts on the better model, and that number rises by about 74% on the weaker model. Monitoring matters more as capability drops.
Which is the cleanest segue into what I think is the single most interesting empirical result in the paper, the capability buffer.
Yeah, this is the finding I keep thinking about. When you downgrade the underlying LLM from GPT-5 mini to GPT-5 nano, same task, same architecture, weaker model, the topology monitored runtime loses about 15 percentage points of completion. Prompt only and chat only lose about 33 percentage points. The verified protocol absorbs roughly half the damage from using a weaker model.
And that reframes the whole paper, in a way. Verification stops being about correctness theater and starts being about an operational lever. You pay a one-time synthesis cost. They report about $4 per task in LLM API spend during the design phase, 10 minutes of wall time. And you amortize that across thousands of cheaper inference runs.
The seatbelt analogy is the one I keep coming back to here. A great driver in clear weather doesn't need a seatbelt for the trip to feel safe. The seatbelt earns its keep when the driver gets worse, or the road gets worse, or both. A verified protocol earns its keep when the model gets cheaper or the inputs get weirder. You're not paying for it on the happy path. You're paying for it as insurance against the cases where the agent alone can't recover.
It's the most concrete business case I've seen for formal methods in the LLM space. If you're running a multi-agent product at scale, this is a real lever. Pay once at design time, then deploy on cheaper inference forever, and lose half the degradation you'd otherwise eat.
There's one architecture in the comparison I want to flag separately, because it's instructive in a different way. The mediator-enforced setup, the one with the rigid central coordinator, actually has the lowest deadlock rate of any architecture, around 4.5%. Almost nothing locks up. But it also has the lowest task completion among the non-chat runtimes, under 45% full completion.
This is the classic safety without flexibility failure mode. When a domain tool fails, or a step doesn't go as planned, the rigid mediator has no recovery path. The protocol is so tightly enforced that any deviation from the verified happy path causes the whole task to abort.
The contrast with topology monitored is the design lesson. Topology monitored enforces the interface, what coordination moves are legal, but lets the agents have full autonomy inside their own logic. If a tool fails, the agent can retry, can try a different approach, can recover. The mediator can't.
Safety is a structural constraint, not a behavioral straitjacket. That's a real design principle the paper articulates well.
Okay, so those are the main results. Now, Finn, you've been keeping a list of where you think the paper overreaches.
I've been keeping several. None of them undermine the contribution, but they're worth airing. The first is that the benchmark is the author's own. 48 tasks, 16 scenarios. Software development, research writing, medical consults, manufacturing, pharma, semiconductor fab, CICD. They explicitly design the tasks so that ground truth is coordination correctness, not domain semantics, which is the right move for evaluating a coordination correctness method. But it means we don't know how the pipeline behaves on tasks where coordination is incidental, and the harder question is whether coordination is even the right framing. The benchmark structurally rewards what TraceFix is built to do.
It's a self-graded test in the sense that the authors pick the test, which is reasonable but worth naming.
Second push. Verification is bounded, and the bounds are quite small. 3 messages per channel by default. They show that bumping to 5 or 7 surfaces, no new violations on 5 hard tasks. But one of those 5 times out at all bounds. And bound sensitivity for arbitrary protocols isn't established. A protocol whose correctness genuinely depends on queue fullness logic could have bound-sensitive bugs that the default would just miss.
That's a real limitation. It's not a flaw. Bounded checking is the only kind that's tractable, but it does shape what verified actually means.
Third, liveness isn't checked at all. They check safety properties. No 2 agents holding a lock, no deadlock, no orphan locks at termination, no stranded messages. They explicitly don't check that the system makes progress. They argue this is principled. LLM protocols legitimately contain may reject indefinitely loops where a reviewer keeps asking for revisions, and a liveness checker would falsely flag those. Fine. But it means guaranteed to make progress is not among the guarantees TraceFix gives you.
A system can be verified, deployed, and then just spin forever in a polite loop of revisions.
Right. Fourth, the repair loop's convergence is empirically demonstrated, but not theoretically characterized. Every task converges in 4 iterations or fewer. Why? Is that a property of the task distribution? Of the particular LLM? Of the loop architecture? A skeptic wants to know whether harder task distributions could induce non-convergence,
and the paper doesn't answer that.
There's also a more subtle one they flag honestly. When TLC times out repeatedly on a hard task, the LLM may simplify the branching structure to reduce checker load, which means the protocol it eventually produces is fast to verify, but may have drifted from what the task actually requires. The paired ablation shows this effect concentrates in timeout-labeled tasks. Verification incentives can pull the protocol away from the task.
And then there's the comparison that should give every reader pause. The prompt-only baseline, verified protocol in the prompt, no runtime monitor, gets 86% average completion and 70% full completion. The full pipeline gets nearly 90 and over 80. So the runtime monitor is worth roughly 3 points of average completion and 12 points of full completion. That's real. But a reasonable reader could ask, in a domain where occasional deadlocks are tolerable, is the verification step delivering enough marginal value to justify the synthesis cost?
I think the answer is in the capability buffer result. If you only ever run on a high-end model and you're willing to eat the failures, prompt only is probably fine. If you're trying to deploy on cheaper inference at scale, or you expect tool failures and fault conditions, the gap widens substantially. The verified architecture's value shows up disproportionately when things go wrong.
Which connects back to seatbelts. Whatever.
Whatever indeed.
One more thing worth saying about the broader landscape. That MAST paper I mentioned earlier, Why Do Multi-Agent LLM Systems Fail? J.E. Emery and colleagues, 2025. It taxonomizes the failure modes of multi-agent LLM systems. The dominant categories are specification and orchestration gaps. The four properties Tracefix checks: mutual exclusion, deadlock freedom, orphan locks, channel drainage, map directly onto MAST's specification and orchestration categories. So this isn't a paper that invented a problem. It's a paper that took a problem the field had already identified and applied a 40-year-old toolkit to it.
And that, I think, is the broader intellectual point worth ending on, Finn. The field has been investing very heavily in making individual agents smarter. Better prompts, better tools, better reasoning, better memory. This paper says there's another axis. The protocol connecting the agents is itself an artifact you can verify, and verifying it pays compounding dividends as the system scales. It reframes the problem from make the LLMs better at negotiating with each other to give the LLMs a verified contract to operate within. Those are very different research programs. And the second one borrows from a tradition that has been quietly solving exactly this problem for decades. It just hasn't been pointed at LLM systems before, because writing the specification used to be the bottleneck.
That's the regime shift, really. The cost of producing a draft specification used to be human expensive. Now an LLM can produce one in minutes, which means the bottleneck moves from writing the spec is hard to checking and repairing it is mechanical. And that second regime is exactly where formal methods are strong.
There's a quote in the paper that captures this well. They write that the specification is no longer an approximation, but the minimal protocol that survives an exhaustive search over all interleavings and agent choices under the chosen bounds.
That phrase, the minimal protocol that survives an exhaustive search, is doing a lot of work. It's a different relationship to a specification than most software engineering has with its specs. The spec isn't something a human wrote down once and trusts. It's the thing left standing after a brute force adversary tried every way to break it.
For anyone deploying multi-agent systems with shared mutable state, lab automation, CI/CD orchestration, manufacturing scheduling, anything where two agents might touch the same resource, that's a meaningfully different posture than what most of the popular frameworks offer right now. AutoGen, LangGraph, CrewAI, they encode coordination in prompts and workflow graphs without formal semantics. This paper is a credible proposal for what instruments would look like in that space.
It's not the final word. The verification to enforcement gap is real. The bounds are small, liveness is unchecked, and the benchmark is self-selected. But it's the most serious attempt I've seen to bring formal methods to bear on LLM coordination, and the empirical scope is genuinely substantial. Roughly 3,500 end-to-end runs is not a token evaluation.
I think the takeaway I'd leave a listener with is the capability buffer framing. If you're going to remember one thing from this paper, remember that a verified coordination protocol cushions the system disproportionately when the underlying model gets weaker or the operating conditions get worse. That's the kind of result that turns a research idea into an engineering practice.
That's the lever.
The show notes have a link to the paper and some related materials if you want to keep pulling on this thread. This is AI Papers, a deep dive. Thanks for listening.